Good morning.
Good morning.
Still depending on the Lord. That's a fact that doesn't change, is never going to change. No matter how hard we try, we still can't do anything without Him. So I certainly desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God, the thoughts that He has given, that they would be presented in a way that He would have them.
Yes, Lord.
They would be an encouragement to you as you journey along your pathway in life.
Amen.
Appreciate God's faithfulness. He's so good to us all the time. Thought this morning about cleave unto the Lord.
Amen.
Like to begin in the 11th chapter of Acts. Read verse 23. Acts chapter 11, verse 23.
Who?
Who?
When he came.
Had seen the grace of God.
Was glad. And exhorted them all.
That with purpose of heart.
They would cleave unto the Lord.
As we read this verse, there's two particular phrases that stick out in this particular verse. That when they came and seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So we see here it's kind of a twofold task that's been given, or the encouragement that's being given is twofold here. It starts here with a purpose of heart. So that word purpose, that means that there's some intention.
Right.
There's an intention, there's a determination behind it. There's something behind it. It's not just something that's done haphazardly. It's done with a concerted effort that's involved with it. So with a purpose of heart. And when you think about something that a purpose of heart, you know, somebody that has something in their heart and then they put a purpose with it, that almost gives it even a little bit extra.
Yeah.
Because it's something, you know, sometimes people may have causes that they're really passionate about, right? And if there's something, maybe they've had experiences, sometimes people have causes just for different illnesses, right? They'll start foundations, maybe because they've been affected in a certain way, maybe somebody in their family dealt with something, so it's in their heart,
yeah.
Right? So it's something that has affected them in such a way that they're very passionate about it. So when they maybe talk about it, you can sense that there's something, it's more than just having a desire to do something.
Yeah.
There's something behind it.
Yeah.
So a purpose of heart is something that's very genuine. There's a real push behind it.
Yes.
So with purpose of heart, now then cleave unto the Lord.
Yeah.
That word cleave means to adhere firmly and closely and loyally, and it's unwaveringly.
Amen.
So there's if you might think about maybe you've seen how maybe trees and nature is affected by winds.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe there's been times where you've been hit by a wind. Maybe if you had to grab onto something maybe to keep from getting blown away. You know, I'm reminded of the verse that talks about when you the house on the rock and on the sinking sand, right?
Yeah.
So when the winds blow, when the waves come, is it going to stand? So if you're cleaving and holding on to something, that means you got a firm grip.
Yeah.
You got a vice grip on it, so that you're not going to let go. So with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord.
Amen.
You know, maybe all of us have had desires. Maybe something that we wanted very bad. It started, you know, these things, it started as children. I can even remember being a child maybe and wanting maybe something so bad that it's almost like all my efforts and energy went into, I'm going to do everything that I can so I can get whatever I desire. Now, I remember one thing in particular. There was some particular shoes that I wanted when I was growing up. And I couldn't get, I didn't have the money to get them, so I put them on layaway. I don't even know if they still have layaway nowadays. But, you know, and so everything, my energies, when I was trying to make a little bit of money, in my mind, I had, you know, it was a purpose of my heart that I wanted those shoes. And so all the effort that I, when I tried to make, I saved some money so I could go put $2 on them. I think they cost $10. So a few years ago, well, you know, I get a couple dollars here and I go put $2. I don't know how long I had, but you know what I had? There was a purpose that I had that I was striving for, something that I wanted, right?
Yes.
And then when I remember making that last payment, and then I got to take them home. You know, some of these little things that we experience naturally, hey, maybe you have things like that. Maybe something that you desired so bad. I want this. And you put all, and I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
And then what happens when you get it sometimes? Sometimes maybe a little bit of disappointment, huh? Yeah, y'all put in all this effort, and I put all this energy into trying to get this, and now I have it, and I'm kind of like, all right, now what? You know, it reminds me of growing up, maybe a particular toy that you wanted for Christmas. Maybe you reminded your parents over and over and over again. And then you get it, and after a day or two, it's sitting in the corner somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we do these types of things that we pursue things. Maybe it's even goals that people pursue. But they put so much effort and energy into it, and then they achieve the goals, and then it's kind of empty.
Yeah.
You know, we put efforts and things like that in natural things, but what if we put that in our relationship with God?
Amen.
With purpose of heart, yes. Cleaving to the Lord. See, the difference is you're not going to be disappointed with God.
Amen.
Then you're not going to have some, what do they call it, buyer's remorse. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen with God. You put your effort and purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord,
yeah.
You're going to be blessed.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. You know, there's another example we think about cleaving. We talk about, and just before I get to that, all of these things that we desire, maybe purpose for, and put effort in for things that are corruptible.
Yeah.
But what we should, even a greater effort, should be for our eternal soul, right?
Yeah.
Is something that is incorruptible.
Yeah.
Another example of cleaving, we think about just in a relationship between a man and a wife. Right? And it talks about in the scripture in Genesis, the second chapter, very familiar text of scripture we're all familiar with. Genesis 2 and 24, it lets us know what needs to take place in order for there to be a successful relationship, right, between a man and a wife, a man and a woman, right?
Yeah.
What does it say there in Genesis 2? And 24.
Therefore shall a man
leave his father
and his mother
and shall cleave unto his wife,
and they shall be
one flesh. We heard a message about that recently, didn't we? About one flesh. But the whole point is that those two, in order to have a successful relationship, they have to cleave one to another, don't they? Right? You know, it's just, and you know, that's still God's desire now.
Yeah.
If I was to give you, we look around at the world that we live in today, are people cleaving to one another? Are they making other choices? It's still what God, this is His desire, right? You know, the statistics will tell you that 43% of first marriages end in divorce. And as people continue on with other ones, they're less successful than the first. But where's the cleaving? You know, when I cleave to something, does that mean that there's not going to be some difficulty that comes along? See, and you can recognize what I'm making a point here with this. Think about, we've made analogies before about how things in life, things that we deal with on a natural level, affect things spiritually. So now when you think about the types of commitments that exist in our world today and how there isn't much, then you start to recognize when people start to try to get a relationship with God, and then maybe it's not, there's going to be some difficulty.
Sure.
There's difficulty in life, period, right? Regardless of whether you have a relationship with God. But the point being is, those kind of habits, they carry over.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, with purpose of heart, cleave to the Lord.
Please.
You know, there's so many lessons that we can apply naturally in life to spiritual things.
Yes.
Right? And we know about this analogy, the analogy of a husband and wife and how we become married to Christ. You know, when couples get together and, you know, they, day one, everything is wonderful. And then maybe some difficulty comes along. Maybe some trials and tests, and they recognize that maybe the one wasn't all those wonderful traits that they observed. Now they get to see some of the other traits. And that's a two-way street, right?
Yeah.
You know? But so what does that mean? So am I going to cleave?
Yeah.
You know what happens is, if you take the C out of cleave, what do you have?
Please,
don't get the two mixed up now.
Yeah.
See, we got to keep clean. You know, and it's that these types of things. So in my relationship with God, does everything going to be wonderful all the time?
No.
Am I going to have to fight?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to have to fight.
Yeah, yeah.
So all these things that we can learn from, naturally we can apply them to things spiritually.
That's right.
You know, just like how people in relationships, things get difficult, so I'll just divorce. People in their relationship with God, it's getting difficult, so I'll just divorce God. See, you should recognize the parallel that's going on. But with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord. Let's go back and get some context of this verse in Acts to see what was going on and the encouragement that the brother was giving to those. Let's start back in the 11th chapter of Acts. We're going to read verse 20. Through verse 24. Back in Acts 11, starting at verse 20.
And some of them
were men of Cyprus, Cyrene,
which when they come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians,
preaching the Lord Jesus.
And the hand of the Lord was with them.
And a great number believed.
And turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church. Which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas.
That he should go as far as Antioch.
When he came,
he seen the grace of God,
was glad,
and was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man,
full of the Holy Ghost
and of faith.
And much people
was added unto the Lord. So there were some brothers that was going around preaching the good news of Jesus and what he could do for them. Right? And there was many, it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them. God was with them as they were ministering to these different ones. And folks were receiving the message with gladness, and they were receiving salvation.
Yeah.
And God blessed them and said, a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So here Barnabas comes on the scene, and he's seeing all these things that's taking place, and he was encouraged. He was inspired, and he was uplifted in his heart to say, all these people, you've made a good choice.
Yeah.
You decided, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
So these ones, they made a choice to follow after Jesus.
Yeah.
So he was just encouraged and inspired in his heart, and he decided to give them a little bit extra.
Yeah.
He said, now, you've got a hold of something now that you got to hold on to, so get it fixed and settled in your heart.
Yeah.
Get it fixed and settled in your mind with purpose of heart.
Yeah.
Cleave unto the Lord.
Amen.
You've got a hold of something now. Hang on to it with all your might.
Yes.
You know, I'm reminded. Hey, you know, they had the bars. What do they call them? I used to do them. The monkey bars. Right? You get on there, you hold it on as tight as you can because you don't want to fall. You're trying to get from one end to the other.
Yeah.
With purpose of heart. Your purpose in your mind, I'm going to get from one side to the other.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hold on. If I got to pause, my grip is going to be strong.
Yeah.
But now, you made a choice. These ones have made a choice for something that's eternal.
Yeah.
When you make a choice for God, there's something that's eternal.
Yeah.
Purpose it in your heart.
Yeah.
I'm going to cleave to the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold on to this like never before. I don't want anything to separate me from God.
Yeah.
But we got to have a purpose of heart.
Yeah.
With purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord. The writer said the verse here says they had seen the grace of God. So they recognized God already working in those that had gotten saved.
Yeah.
It was clear.
Yeah.
They saw the effects produced by the grace of God. They recognized his favor. They recognized his blessings, his spiritual blessings.
Amen.
And they recognized the effect that it had on their life.
Yeah.
And the effects that it was producing.
Yes.
So this is what the writer says, and I'm going to read this from one of the commentaries. It says, these converts had begun well. So it had been some time that took place before Barnabas came where their relationships were with God. They had a little time that their relationship with God was being cultivated. So they had begun well. And he was the encouragement that he was giving them. They must continue and persevere. God gave them the grace, the principle of life and action, and it was their business to use it. So everything that God gives, he expects us to use.
Yes.
Barnabas knew well that they must have the grace of God in them to enable them to do any good.
Yes.
But he knew also that it is being in them did not necessarily imply that it must continue there. Right? So that's why he was given that extra encouragement. You've gotten started. You started down the right path. And that's wonderful. But you know, many have started to walk in this race. Right? What does the song say? But with the life, they refuse to keep pace. Others accepted because it is new, but not very many expect to go through.
Right.
See, so he saw something here that now you got it in you, but I want to admonish you even more to keep going on. See, just because you got it, that doesn't mean that everything is done. All right, it's all good now. I can kick up my heels now and kick back in my chair and relax. No. Now it's really started now. Right? That's just the beginning. Now is the good part of you, like if I could use that expression.
Amen.
Now it's time to really get to work now.
Amen.
So his encouragement was, you gotta, now it's in there, but now you gotta keep on going.
Yes.
With purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord.
Amen.
With determination of heart, with set, fixed purpose and resolution, that they would cleave unto the Lord, to remain with the Lord, to continue in union and fellowship with Him.
Amen.
To be faithful in keeping His truth and obedient in the practice of it. To be a Christian is to be united with Christ.
Yes.
Yes.
To be one spirit with Him. And to continue in that union.
Amen.
So mom's striving while purpose of heart, endeavoring to cleave to the Lord. It's a daily effort to be in union,
that's
in
right,
one spirit,
right,
with God.
That's right.
In every aspect of my life, Lord, I want to be in union with You.
Yes,
so if in my heart I purpose in that, to do that, and I have a determination more than ever before to cleave unto the Lord, then by God's grace and strength and help,
yes, Lord,
I can do it.
Amen.
The Amplified says he continuously exhorted, warned, urged, and encouraged them to cleave unto and remain faithful to and devoted to the Lord. It's a resolute, with a resolute, steady purpose of heart.
Yes, amen.
So it's something that maybe I have to check in daily.
Yeah.
You can exhort yourself.
Yeah.
You can urge yourself.
Yeah.
You can encourage yourself. I believe there's a scripture. One of the disciples, he encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yeah.
I can look at my life and say, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm still devoted to You.
Yeah.
That I'm remaining faithful to You, what Your desire is for me in my life. Remember we talked about it. It's real easy. It's one letter.
Yeah.
Cleave becomes leave. Because you know what? We have an adversary. Right? We know that. And you know, when we're on the enemy's territory, he's got us. So he doesn't really have to work that hard. Because we're already on his territory. But when you make a stand for God, when you say, devil, I'm through with you. I'm finished with you and all your... whatever you're trying to do to me, you're trying to destroy me. That's what he came to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So when we tell him, I've had enough of you, I'm going to serve another master, then he's going to pursue us more than ever before.
Yeah. Yeah.
See? So we're going to be in a daily fight against the enemy of our soul.
Yeah,
and I want you to know, he's cruel. He's cruel.
He is.
Right.
And he has every trick that you can imagine up his sleeve. Right. And he's been utilizing against mankind from the beginning.
Right.
Started in the garden. So we recognize that we have to hold on more than ever before. So what kind of grip do you have? Is it just a loosey-goosey grip? Think about, you have a child, you walk in a crowd of people, you just got them by the finger, by a little pinky. Yeah, it's coming, come on. No, you've got a full hand grip, right?
Yeah.
Yes. You want that child in a crowd of people? You don't want them to be lost. You gotta almost like maybe child. You hurting, mommy, daddy? You hurting my hand? Well, I don't want to lose you,
right.
So I'm holding on tight.
Right.
But maybe just let me grab your wrist here. So what kind of grip do we have on God? Are we endeavoring to cleave to Him? Like, you know, those vice grips. I don't know. We still use vice grips.
Yes.
So they have like an extra, it's like pliers. Y'all know what I mean. The pliers, you tighten them, and this has a nice grip on it, but then just like an extra lock.
Yeah.
You put an extra, a little extra, and when you have that tight on whatever you're trying to get a hold to, you got to put some oomph into it, don't you?
Right.
To grip it down, because then it's like, it's the extra grip. You got a vice grip, a hold on Jesus this morning. Cleave to the Lord.
Amen.
Get a hold of Him and hang on.
Amen. Amen.
God is faithful.
Yeah.
You know what? Because as hot, as tight as you holding on to Him, He's going to hold on to you. Do it like your life depends on it. Because it does.
Amen.
Right? He's a very present help in need.
Yes, yes.
We know about these promises that He gives us in His Word.
Yes.
And you know, when you work in unison together, there's nothing. You know, if one person is holding on tight, that's good. Right? But when it's reciprocated,
yes.
You got some strength there,
yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
You know, you can imagine maybe someone that's hanging off a cliff or something. And somebody's reaching down to hold on to them. That person that's reaching down for them, once they get a grip, don't you know the other person that's hanging, they're going to have a grip too, aren't they?
Yeah.
And when that grip works together, then that person is able to be rescued,
yes,
and pulled out.
Yes.
God's love and mercy is still the same today.
Yeah.
The same God that was in the beginning, and that's been through all the annuals of time, He's still that same God today. And we can hold on to Him more than ever before.
Yes.
With purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord. There's a familiar story. And I want to lay the foundation with the first portion of this story, because I want to make a point in terms of when we make an effort with purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go to Daniel, the first chapter. I'm going to read a few verses there. So Daniel, it says here in Daniel 1:1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim of Judah into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his gods. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Azapaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning, the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily portion, of a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And among them were children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Ezra. Ezra. And unto them the prince of the eunuchs gave names. And he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Meshach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But take note here. So you know, in this story, there's nothing really going on, right? They're here in under the rule of this king, and now he's recognizing them as their the cream of the crop, so to speak, if I can use that expression. And he wants to give them the best that he can offer so that he can just even make them more strong in might, right? But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could say that at this particular time, there wasn't necessarily any trouble going on, right?
Sure.
But did you take note of what Daniel did?
Yeah.
He purposed in his heart.
Yeah.
He had a purpose in his heart that he was going to serve God, and he didn't want to be defiled by what was being offered to him, because he knew that it wasn't about that.
Right.
It wasn't about what the king was offering. It was about God.
Amen.
So he purposed in his heart, and allow me to interject here, to cleave unto the Lord.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm not going to read all of it, but you know the story. So they went through a period of time, right? And then they came back before the king so they can make an assessment. Let's see, these are the ones that's got the king's provision, and these are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they haven't had it, so let's see how they fare.
Yes.
When you pick up on verse 15, and it says at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat.
Amen. Amen.
Purpose of hearts.
Yeah.
Purpose of heart. So God was faithful to Daniel.
Yeah.
You know, again, I make reference to at that particular time, didn't seem like a significant per se decision that was made. But you know what? It was proving the faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
Right? He made a stand and God proved his faithfulness to him.
Yeah.
That's important. That's important for us.
Amen.
God was faithful when he gave. God must have inspired him to say, don't partake of that. Because you recognize that's not where your strength and help comes from anyways.
Right.
So God leading and guiding in a particular direction proved his faithfulness.
Yeah.
Right? So when a soul recognizes God's dealings and makes a choice, right?
Yes.
They make a choice to serve God.
Yes.
God honors that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And he will be faithful.
Yes, he will.
Now, in verse 8, he purposed in his heart to cleave to the Lord.
Yeah.
So, the point being, get a hold of God. There's different, we're in a fight.
Yeah.
We're in a battle against the enemy of our soul.
Yeah.
And we can all recognize that there are times that we feel like we're more under attack than others.
Yeah. Right.
Y'all agree with that this morning?
Yeah.
So would you think it would be advisable with purpose of heart to cleave to the Lord when things are maybe a little bit less tumultuous? Do you think it's more difficult to purpose of heart and cleave to the Lord when the fiery darts are flying thick and fast, or when there's maybe just a few darts flying? Do you take note of what Daniel did? While things were relatively settled, he purposed in his heart to cleave to the Lord. So now, when the trouble comes, he was already set up for success. So now, 2 Kings later, let's pick up on Daniel in the 6th chapter.
All right.
Start reading at verse 1.
It pleased Darius. To set over the kingdom 120 princes. What should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents.
Of whom Daniel was first.
That the prince might give account unto them. And the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the president and princes. Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the president and the princes sought to find occasion.
Against Daniel
concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful. Neither was there error or fault found in him.
Pause for just a moment. We understand what's going on. With purpose of heart, Daniel had cleaved. He started this process a long time ago. Do you think if he started that process, do you think it was something that he maintained on a daily basis? Of course he did, and we're going to read about it here shortly. But understand the importance of purposing of heart and cleaving to the Lord, and it's not just a one-time thing. It's something that each of any one of us that want to live a victorious life, we have to do continually. And this is what Brother Daniel did. He was an excellent spirit was in him. We talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. Where did that come from? He was just a good fellow. God was with him. That's why there was an excellent spirit. There was a reason why the king noticed him above everybody else and wanted to put him in charge, because God was with him. Because with purpose of heart, he was cleaving unto the Lord. All right, continue reading.
Then said this man.
Now there's some fellas coming along. Got some jealousy, huh? We got to get rid of this fella. Let's figure out a way to get rid of him. They forgot who he served. All right.
We shall not find any occasion against this
Daniel. We can't find nothing wrong with him.
Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.
Oh, except the law of his God. So, you can imagine them kind of rubbing their hands together. The God that he served, that's how we don't get it. Isn't the enemy cruel?
Yes.
Look how he used them. And y'all know that. I don't want to get ahead. You know the end of the story. You know what happened to them. Go ahead.
Then these presidents and princes.
So they got themselves together and went to the king.
And said unto him. King Darius. Live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom. The governors.
And the princes.
The counselors.
And the captains.
Have consulted together. To establish his royal scepter.
Was that the truth? It wasn't even the truth, was it? See? Did they consult him? No, they didn't. But here they come and puffing up the king. Talk about that in Sunday school this morning too, didn't we? Just blowing him up. You so great and mighty. And all of us, we put our heads together. You put us in charge, great king. And we put our heads together and we come up with something now.
To make a firm decree.
We're going
to
make a firm decree.
That whosoever
shall ask a petition
of any God
or man for 30 days,
save of thee, O king,
he shall be cast into the den of the lion. See how cruel the enemy is.
Yes.
They let us slip that little trick of any God or man. And then King Darius, he listened to them. He just got lifted up himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead and read.
Now.
O king.
Establish
the decree.
And sign the
right.
That it may not be changed. According to the law. Of the Medes and the Persians. Which altereth not.
Now, pick up on verse 10.
Now, when Daniel knew that...
So, this writing was signed. And obviously, Daniel heard about it. So, it says, Daniel knew...
That the writing was signed. He went into his house. And his windows being opened
in his chamber toward Jerusalem.
He kneeled upon his knees...
Three times a day
and prayed and gave thanks before his God
as he did aforetime with purpose of heart cleave to the Lord.
Yes.
He made a decision a long time ago and he was faithful through it down through the years.
Amen.
And now here comes this, the decree now that if you ask any petition of any man or God, you won't get cast into the den of lions.
Yes.
God had already proven faith. Daniel had already made his choice.
Yeah.
I'm going with God all the way. Yeah. And take note, guess what? This happened after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been in the fire.
Yeah. Right.
So God has been... Since the beginning of time, God has proven his faithfulness time and time again, however many times, over and over again. If we purpose in our heart to cleave unto the Lord, God will be faithful.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what we have to come against. Doesn't matter what trial and test we might face, God will be faithful.
Yes, he will.
So there was no reason Daniel had to change what he did. He made a decision, I'm going to cleave to the Lord, and nothing's going to change it now. You know what happened.
Then these men assembled. And found Daniel praying. And making supplication for his God.
For the sake of time, we know the story.
Yes.
So, the law was already in place now. So Daniel was, he was casted. And the king recognized, you know, you can read it just to remind yourself again of what took place. But the king recognized too late the trickery of those that he had put in charge. But was God faithful? Read verse 22, please.
But God has sent him.
My God, this is Daniel. You know what happened. The king called down and said, Daniel, he couldn't even sleep.
Right.
Went through a whole night, couldn't sleep, was fasting, praying. Lord, have mercy on Daniel. He came in the morning, said, Daniel, what's going on now? Daniel said,
My God
has sent his angels
and has shut the
lion's mouth,
that
they have not hurt me
for as much as before him innocence
was found in me,
and also before before thee.
And also before thee.
O King.
O King.
Have I done no hurt?
Have I done no
hurt?
Amen. There's a song. It says, I'll keep holding on to Jesus.
Yes.
Because I know he's holding on to me.
Yes.
What was happening to Daniel? Daniel was holding on to Jesus. And Jesus was holding, or God was holding on to him.
Yes, he was.
Right?
Yes.
And God proved faithful to him.
Yes.
Probably had the best night of sleep he ever had in his life with a lion as a pillow.
Amen. Amen.
My encouragement to you this morning, as the brother mentioned, I exhort you, I warn you, I urge you, I encourage you to cleave unto the Lord.
Yes.
Cleaving unto the Lord when you're on the mountain is better than trying to cleave when you're in the valley.
Yes.
So it's... You want to when you're in the low parts, you want to already have your vice grip set.
Yes.
Right? You want to already have it set. And then when you come out of there and God has blessed you, you want to refasten that grip.
Because
right, you know, as we go through life, we're going to hit some highs and we're going to hit some lows.
Right.
So we can be encouraged while God blesses us to get a hold of a tighter grip. While things are not so difficult, so when the difficulty comes, our grip is tight.
Amen.
And then when we come out of that, when God proves faithful, because if we hold on to him, he's going to hold on to us.
Amen.
And we're going to come through by the grace and help of God.
Yes.
And then we just re-tighten it.
Yes.
Lord, I'm going to repurpose in my heart to cleave on to you more than ever before. Because
yes.
I know there's going to be some more difficulty coming. We're always in a fight. And we recognize the times when we're under a greater attack.
Yes.
We should already be holding on tight.
Yes.
Does that mean that God in his love and mercy, if you have a desire to still want to serve him, and maybe your grip is not as tight as it should have been, God will be faithful. But I'm just trying to encourage us this morning, if you want to make it a little bit less difficult, to already make sure your grip is tight.
Amen.
Cleave unto the Lord.
Yes.
Because as you go through this life, it's not going to be flowery beds of ease. But you know what? We can have a determination. We can purpose in our heart more than ever before to cleave unto the Lord. And it's my desire by the help and by the grace of God that my grip would just stand firm and strong.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and as I just something that I reassure continually, consistently to make sure, am I still cleaving as tight to him as I need
Amen.
To cleave?
Yeah.
Help me, Lord, to do it by your grace and by your strength. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. My encouragement this morning, with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord.